a few other people are going to be joining from the wait list. Today's date is October 23rd. This is the EMS Advisory Council meeting for October. The time is now 1800 hours. I'm interim EMS coordinator James Parent, and I call the meeting to order. Adequate notice of this meeting has been provided as required under Chapter 231 PL 1975, specifying the time, date, location, login, or dial-in information, and to the extent known, the agenda by posting a copy of the notice on the municipal building, municipal court, and two municipal library bulletin boards, municipal website, and providing a copy to the official newspapers of the township, and by filing a copy in the office of the township clerk, in accordance with a certification by the clerk, which will be entered into the meeting minutes. In order to make sure a clear record of this meeting can be made and that all parties are heard in an organized fashion, all members of the public will be muted during this meeting. If a member of the public wishes to speak during any public comment portion, please raise your hand. This can be done either through the Zoom app or by pressing *9 on your phone. I will unmute members of the public individually if they have their hand raised. When it is your turn to speak, you will get a prompt or request to unmute. Please click on the prompt or press *6 on your phone to unmute. Upon being unmuted, you should begin to ask any and all questions you may have. You will have 3 minutes to speak, at the conclusion of which you'll be muted again, and the advisory committee or administration will respond as necessary. Each member of the public shall only have one opportunity to speak during each public portion. As the technology does not allow us to know if there are multiple callers on an individual line, we ask if you wish to speak, you dial in on a separate line so we can recognize you as a separate individual. Individuals may also submit written comments to the EMS coordinator up to 48 hours prior to the meeting to be read by the EMS coordinator during the public comment portion of the meeting. Said comments shall be limited to 3 minutes of reading. Please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You can be seated. And roll call. Mr. Dacey is not here. Chief Pilch.
Present.
River Road Rescue Squad representative. Mr. Shigowski.
Present.
River Road's alternate.
Present.
North Stelton Rescue Squad, Ms. Green.
Present.
And do you have an alternate here today?
I want to say John's phone is John Scarpa.
Okay. And Ms. Farmer? I don't see her in here.
Yeah. This is me.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Guzman? I don't see him in here. And any township council members want to make their appearance noted for the record? Okay, and I do see Township Attorney Mr. Baker.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Mr. Baker. Okay, we do have four voting members on this meeting, so we do have quorum. Was there any unfinished business that we need to go over?
So I think I've brought this up in the past. I was just trying to reiterate or ask why the township doesn't choose to use JFK for dispatch. I saw that there's been a lot of job postings for dispatchers for Piscataway, and I was just wondering why they do not utilize JFK in that capacity.
You're talking about just for the EMS portion of our dispatch?
Yes.
That's not what was negotiated in the contract, as far as I know. We want to keep our dispatchers.
Okay, thank you, Chief.
I believe Mr. Bober can correct me. I believe in the RFP, it was actually offered for a one I don't really know the term, one push or one button transfer, as they do, I think it was mentioned in Edison.
Yeah, that's standard language in all of our responses to RFPs. As a regional communication center, it's a capability we have, but there are at this point just as many towns that do not take us up on it as there are that do. But you're right, Evan, it was offered.
Okay, Ms. Green, to answer your question.
Yeah, I have another one though. So we're 3 years into this 5-year contract at this point. And I was looking for what the township views for the idea of subsidizing JFK with volunteer services and Piscataway residents, what their perspective is still.
Our perspective remains the same. Everything is working as we anticipated, so we're not gonna mess with that.
Okay, Ms. Green, anything else?
That's it for old business.
Any other unfinished business? Yes, I see a hand. I don't know if this is a... Go ahead, sir, I'm unmuting you. Are you the member of the public?
It's Patricia Farmer.
Oh, how are you?
Hi.
So my question, and I guess it would be old business because I know we've discussed it before. When would we anticipate meetings being able to be held in person?
Chief, do you have an update on this?
No, that would be something that we would have to talk to Mr. Dacey about. As far as I know, this is the way it was going to remain for the foreseeable future.
Thank you.
Okay, do you have anything else, Ms. Farmer? Okay, any other unfinished business? I don't see any hands. I'm going to move on to new business. I just have one. We have to set the EMS Advisory Council meeting dates for next year. I've gone through and picked the 4 dates that are similar to what we've had this year and the year prior, which are January 29th, April 29th, July 29th, and October 28th. So January, April, and July 29th of each month, which is a Monday night. And then the last meeting of the year would be October 28th, which is a Monday night. I would need a motion to set those meeting dates, and that then if there's any discussion about those.
I'd give a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, Mr. Shigowski and Chief Pilch with the second. Any discussion on those dates? If any scheduling issues come up, we can address it. We really need to just make sure that January 29th works with everyone's schedule.
And Jim,
yes.
Once this is set, can you send out calendar invites?
Yes, absolutely.
So we can all automatically have it show up on our calendar. Thank you.
We'll do that. Right, any objections to the motion for the EMS Advisory Council meeting dates for next year? Okay, without objection, so moved. Any other new business? Ms. Green, did you have something?
Yeah, I was looking to see who is coming in for mutual aid into Piscataway, if we have a list of who's coming in, because I'm just curious if there's other volunteer organizations that are coming into Piscataway for mutual aid at this time.
Mr. Bober, do you have anything for that?
Yep, sorry, I was just pulling up the report. It looks like at this point, the only mutual aid organization that has been routinely servicing Piscataway has been South Plainfield EMS. I don't think we've had anybody else come in other than South Plainfield over the course of the last at least 2 months that I'm looking back at this point, but I can certainly look back further.
So then to follow up, asking the township-wise, why South Plainfield over Piscataway units in regards to response times and issues with that?
I don't know what the question is there.
Why is South Plainfield volunteer organization okay to come into Piscataway to serve the residents if the volunteers like aren't able to do so at this time?
They're being dispatched through JFK. Whatever's in their rotation is who you know winds up in our town.
So, Mark, that may be a question more to you.
Sure, I can definitely jump in. So ultimately, the number of mutual aid requests remains incredibly low. However, what I will say is the response scheme for mutual aid basically has been built over time with units that are routinely part of our response and capable of responding into multiple towns. But regarding our perspective on mutual aid, if somebody is up and running and vetted within our mutual aid system, then, ultimately, unless a town has an aversion or a request to us not to send them in, then we will send them. However, at this time, I think it's just been a simple level of convenience. South Plainfield EMS has been up on almost a 24/7 basis. Definitely became a lot more a part of our mutual aid response scheme as we inherited more responsibility in Plainfield. And from our perspective, it's just been a case of availability without really having to put them up or take them down very often on the board, because as it seems, they're almost up completely 24/7 at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Bobert. Did that answer your question, Ms. Green?
Yeah, but to follow up, do we think that more rigs are then needed? I work Overlook. I'm under the charge for night shift in the ER, and your Piscataway trucks that come in and Plainfield trucks, those crews are awesome and they're really wonderful and they're great clinicians.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
My question is, does JFK always have their three trucks in town, or at least two? Or is that an issue with like staffing?
No, JFK always does have a minimum of two trucks in town at any given time, and it is usually three. The only time that the third truck is not in town is if the third truck is going on a mutual aid assignment to another town, and that would have to be a life-threatening emergency. We're not routinely using that third truck outside of town for any other reason. I can tell you that in looking back at the data, the times that we've gone to mutual aid, a fair number of those times have been a fourth due assignment in Piscataway. But again, the numbers themselves are incredibly low. So it looks like probably greater than 90 to 95% of the time at this point, three units in town has been more than sufficient. And the number of times that all three units are operating at any given time has been incredibly low. I think in looking at our triggers and in looking at our data collection, the number of times that all three units are operating is somewhere in the 10 to 15% range. So on a regular basis, it seems like the town is definitely capably serviced by two units, but having that third unit around and almost always available for response seems to catch the vast majority of all responses within town.
So I was looking at the data. Unfortunately, we just got the recent last 3 months, 10 minutes before this call. But percentages wise for the month, you guys are meeting less than 10 minutes, 84, 85, 86%. In June, I had pulled it across and looked at one of the calls were 23 minutes. Another one was 18 minutes at midnight. Usually there's not a lot of traffic at midnight. So unless it's a dispatch issue or it's a staffing issue, I'm just curious to know, like, that 14, 15% can make a big difference in response times for like an emergency that's happening.
Mark, sure, specifics on those?
Yeah, it definitely can. I can pull the outlier job and I can take a look back at that job and find specifically which one you are referring to. In general, when I'm talking percentages, just what I was kind of talking about on that one, Kayla, was if you look at last month, there was 410 responses and only seven went out to mutual aid. So that's just over 1% of all the jobs that required mutual aid at that time. Definitely the idea of operating at about a 90%, that's important for sure. That is the contractual obligation and something that we strive to meet on a regular basis. Although it is regrettable that sometimes that fourth job comes in and there is jobs that do fall out, I can say that when it comes to staffing, the three units in Piscataway rank up there among the highest priorities that we have. So we are routinely putting the needs of Piscataway at the top of the list and making sure that those three units are staffed on a regular basis.
Would it be helpful to subsidize with volunteers? I'm just trying to understand if you guys are good completely and you guys have it 100%, but it doesn't look like it's 100%. So I'm just trying to understand if like there's room for improvement. Like that's what this council is to be, is that, you know, it's no longer about North Stelton getting jobs because that's not what it is, but rather looking at the data and figuring out like what we can do better.
No, can I just say, North Stelton hasn't responded to the call since January because you guys are you know, are no longer operating. So I don't really understand, Mark, who's a guest, what the point of the questions here are.
I think if I can jump in, Chief, I think Kayla's just asking, is there anything we could be doing to do it, be doing it better, not specifically pushing for North Stelton, but just is there something we can, is there anything we need to do to improve? Is that sort of where you are, Kayla?
That's 150%. Again, I have the utmost respect. I started at JFK. I also started on the truck. So this isn't about just North Stelton as an organization, but rather EMS overall. And based on the data, is there things that we can do? It's not specifically aimed at Bober or, you know, JFK, but they're the ones that are serving Piscataway right now. And it was to my understanding that this whole, like, otherwise, what is this council for if we're not trying to see if there's something that we can improve on?
So then, Mark, if you can report back for our next meeting, if you think there's room for improvement, or were those really outliers and you've already gotten the issue addressed? I think that's where Kayla's going.
I certainly can. And Kayla, I appreciate the sentiment and where you're coming from. What we'll do is we'll take a look at each of the outliers and we'll see if there's any pattern to it. You know, if it involves time of day or day of week, or perhaps even the idea that maybe our posting could be set up a little bit better and be distributed across the town in a way that makes it so that the response times are a little better. If we see a trend or a pattern in the outliers, then that's certainly something that we'll bring back to the group. We'll take a look between now and the next meeting for sure.
I appreciate you. I really do. I genuinely appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Bober. And thank you for your question, Ms. Green. Any other new business? Do you have anything else, Ms. Green?
I have a follow-up question for that discussion.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Dan Klebanner from River Road.
Hi, Dan, sir. Go ahead.
Hello. Mark, you had said that mutual aid came in last month 7 times. Are we considering that a different agency, like a non-JFK unit, or is that any unit that was not specifically assigned to Piscataway?
We had actually clarified this previously, Dan.
I'm sorry.
I didn't tell you. No, I think it's my fault. I forgot to tell you. JFK had stated, I believe at the last meeting, I actually asked that question. Mutual aid from JFK is anything that does not say JFK, as they,
okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you got it, Ev. Exactly.
Anything that says JFK, no matter the location it's dispatched from, is considered a JFK response.
Yep, it's basically okay. Binary. It's either us or it's not us.
So mutual aid, gotcha. Mutual aid, not overflow. So overflow is not counted as a mutual aid response.
Understood.
I do have some questions of Mr. Parent. I would ask Mr. Dacey, but he's not here. I'm trying to figure out what changed with the township. The impetus, as I understood it, to go to this 24/7 contracted service was due to failures of EMS as a whole or elsewhere in some way, shape, or form as portrayed by the township. And I'm kind of just watching us extremely stray from the RFP and the contract. I'm just curious as to what's changed.
What do you mean? How are we straying from the contract?
Yeah, I think you might find us not agreeing with the premise of your question.
I'll gladly explain. In reading through the contract, there's really three performance standards that we see. One is you need to have 3 ambulances in Piscataway 24/7. Reading through the RFP, there was originally 3 specific hard posts that needed to be maintained. And there's this on scene time. There needs to be an ambulance on scene within 10 minutes of dispatch 90% of the time. And all of these things were significant portions of either the RFP or the contract as executed. And it seems as though, if I'm reading everything correctly and the questions that we've been asking throughout, we just seem to not be meeting these KPIs, or they seem to be suddenly irrelevant over time. You know, the ambulances, we allow JFK to post them wherever they need them, which I do agree is actually for the benefit, that, but that's not what went out in the RFP. Looking at the on-time percentage for JFK, while you have an average of somewhere between, I'd say, 7 to 8 minutes, which is fantastic, the on-time percentage as offered never has hit 90% once in the 6 months of data that we've been given. And in a previous meeting, we were told that JFK could utilize one of the three ambulances for mutual aid, which Mr. Bober just confirmed. And we was also, I think, Chief Mosier at the time confirmed that a second ambulance can be pulled with the permission of the watch commander. And these are all like three pretty significant tenets, in my opinion, in our opinion, of both the contract and the RFP. And they all seem to have gone, they seem to have become not as important. So we're just trying to figure out if the time doesn't matter as much, if the posts don't matter as much, if the number of ambulances don't matter as much, what happened?
Sure, I can cut in. You're kind of piggybacking off what Ms. Green brought up earlier. But just to touch on a few points, the three ambulances in town 24/7, you know, they have to go out of town. We don't have any major emergency room hospitals in town. So at some point, they have to be out of town, transporting the patient, delivering the patient to the hospital. Mr. Bober did say that sometimes a rig could go out of town for mutual aid for life-threatening emergencies. I don't think anyone would argue that that would be inappropriate or misappropriation of our resources. The hard posts, we went over this a couple meetings ago about the three hard posts. JFK does a dynamic like dispatching. They anticipate where calls are going to come in. So we are allowing them to change those hard posts, which isn't a violation of the contract. It actually allows for this in the contract to move those hard posts around depending on call volume, time of day, et cetera. And then the goal of 10 minutes, you did bring up that the average is about 7.5 minutes. I'm not sure for the last month, but it's about 7.5 minutes. That 90% goal of under 10 minutes, that's to the township's prerogative to enforce that. I understand why you bring up in a meeting, but it's not a violation of the contract.
I'm sorry. Did you just say the township doesn't have the prerogative to enforce section 5.1 of the contract?
No, that's not at all what he said.
No, I said it's the township's prerogative to enforce that.
So there's... It's a township not to then.
As an EMS advisory council, we can make a recommendation. We can bring maybe attention to this if we think it's an issue, if the 87% to 90%, but it's up to the township to.
So the township has the choice to not enforce the contract?
Township always has as the payer under the contract always has the ability to waive provisions or allow provisions to grow into it, just like there are three places posted, supposed to be posted, but now we're allowing flexibility because it makes more sense. So yes, Ev, if the town is satisfied with 87%, we can say we're good for now and continue to work with JFK to get to 90%.
And I'll bring up one thing too. Mr. Bober did say he's going to look into possible statistical outliers for the missing 3% or so, making the under 10 minutes. So I look forward in the January meeting if he's able to look into each individual instance. You know, if there's a 23-minute response time, that's going to skew those numbers a little bit, just as if there is a 15-second response time. So I think Mr. Bober did say he was going to look into some of the outliers of why those numbers were a little bit different.
All right. And if I may, just to kind of add to it, Evan, I completely understand your point. You know, we are absolutely shooting for 90%. That is the goal. That is always the goal. That has always been the goal. There have been more than a fair number of months where we have met it, but I do understand as far as your statement goes of the 6 months or so of the past couple that are the only ones that you have in front of you or that have been shared with you. I know that was definitely a goal of this committee to make sure that there was more transparency surrounding that as well. But there is no shift in the premise of the idea that 90% is the goal. Certainly what we are striving for on a regular basis, and any month we don't make it, we do look to take a look at each of those and make sure we implement the appropriate process improvement. Regarding the posts, you know, one of the posts that was originally laid out as the idea of where we would be stationed in the original plan was the fire academy. And obviously that couldn't be occupied. So there was a little bit of a shift there, but we definitely do not post just wherever we want. Each time we've talked about moving where one of the three units would be posted, we've had to check back and made sure we check back with police and police dispatch to make sure that that was something that they were agreeable to as well. And then the only other thing I would say is we have never pulled two of the three units. We're certainly grateful that when a life-threatening emergency comes in and, you know, it's all quiet in Piscataway, that Piscataway has chosen to be a gracious neighbor and allowed that third unit to go when perhaps another unit wouldn't be going. But to date, we have not gone down to one unit in Piscataway, and that is certainly not the intent. I don't think that we would be able to make that 10 minutes for the geography that we're talking about in Piscataway with any kind of certainty if we were leaving it to a simple single unit.
Yeah. And, you know, you guys have done a wonderful job. You know, this is in no way, shape or form a slight towards JFK. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate what you and all your people do for us as residents. It's just, you know, we're just here just trying to understand things a little bit better. I just wanted to be abundantly clear about that.
No, I get it. But thank you for saying that. I do get
it. Absolutely. Just to piggyback on Ms. Green, what she had said earlier in regards to South Plainfield, we've asked a series of questions throughout the timeline of this advisory council. And JFK has stated multiple times that they'd be more than willing to work with either of the organizations in town that are here in town. And they've left that entirely up to the municipality. And I believe they've done that because that's really just how the contract is written. It recognizes both organizations and it completely leaves it up to the township. So I think Ms. Green's, you know, it's the same question we share over here at River Road. And, you know, something Ozzie and I have talked about. Fortunately, he's not here today. We're just trying to figure out, you know, if we can have inclusion with JFK. JFK stated the only reason that they can't move forward with either of us is because it really is, as contractually written, the direction of the town. So we're just trying to, I think, Kayla, don't let me put any words in your mouth, understand why it is an out-of-town volunteer asset is favored seemingly by the township over in-town staffed asset. And to Ms. Pilch's statement that someone hadn't been in service recently, it's this issue that I would think brought them to where they're at, is they just weren't getting the volume. So, you know, we're just trying to figure out why the volume is being directed by the town one way versus the other, when there is already a framework to support this to happen.
I'd like to add a supplement to that, if I could.
Go ahead, Dan.
It's been stated in this meeting that, you know, the town understands that sometimes life-threatening emergencies happen elsewhere, and that we're allowing JFK to send an ambulance out of town for that to benefit that individual. Why isn't the town looking to benefit its own citizens with other ambulance services that are already in town?
I just want to touch on one thing, because Evan's kind of hinting at this on one side of it. And one side, and Ms. Green will attest to this, I believe, that North Stellan wasn't getting enough call volume to sustain, you know, the membership and training and keeping their volunteers interested in coming to the station on their weekends and answering calls. So maybe in the next 3 months, we can look at specifically how many times, we'll say South Plainfield, comes into our town for mutual aid. It seems like it's only a few, maybe not even per month, but per quarter, where we're having a different ambulance come in. specifically like South Plainfield. Just trying to keep this moving forward. And this is, we have the data, everything's being shared with the EMS council. So we can look at this in a few months, and Mr. Bober can come back also with the times, and we can all talk about this with all the facts and information.
I think that's a good idea. And I think it's important to remember, you know, this isn't, again, as Ms. Green stated, it's not North Stelton or River Road or one versus the other, but there is a fully functional EMS agency, and it does happen to be River Road, and it still is here in town, and it's still available to be used as a supplement as allowed by the contract. You know, we wouldn't pick us over Stelton any day of the week. You know, that's not how we operate over here. But you know, there seems to be growth, and it's been talked about many times that we could work hand in hand with JFK. They're open to it. The contract's here and it allows it. And it's just, it really is truly baffling why it is that we are allowing other volunteers in, and you have people showing up still even, and you're just not letting them in. I mean, it's getting to the point where residents call us directly, and that's just, we remind them not to. It's wholly inappropriate. The 911 system exists for a reason, and it assures a specific level of care through EMD. And we just, we really are here for the residents. So the last piece I'm going to offer, it's just very baffling on our end as well.
Okay, thank you for your comments. I have one more housekeeping thing that I need to bring up, and then we're going to get into new business once more. I'm just going to ask for a motion to approve the meeting minutes for July. I realize I haven't done that in the beginning of the meeting. They were dispensed to the EMS Advisory Council via email. If there's no objections to accepting the meeting minutes, go ahead, Evan.
I'll offer for you.
I appreciate that, Evan. Any discussion on the meeting minutes? Okay, without objection, the meeting minutes will be entered into the record and sent to the town council. Any other new business? Don't see any hands.
I wasn't going to say anything. I didn't even think about it. You introduced yourself as interim. Is there any update on you not being interim? We'd like to welcome you aboard, you know, officially.
I don't have any updates for you, Evan.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Yes, sir. Any other new business? Okay, announcements. I'm going to start with the announcements. I have next EMS advisory meeting date is January 29th, 6 p.m. It's going to be on Zoom. I will send out calendar invites for the whole year. And then there's actually a typo on the agenda. It's please have personnel apparatus reports to me before the April meeting, not the January. So you guys can wait until next year, the end of the year, to do your apparatus personnel reports. Any other announcements? Okay, this is now the time for the public comment. If any member of the public wishes to speak, please raise your hand. This can be done by either on the Zoom app by pressing *9 on your phone. I will unmute members of the public individually if they have their hand raised. When it is your turn to speak, you will get a prompt or request to unmute. Please click on the prompt or press *6 on your phone to unmute yourself. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you will have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The EMS Advisory Committee or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comments or questions. It is now open to the public. Please raise your hand. Okay, I don't think there's many members of the public even in this meeting right now. I don't see any hands raised. Okay, that closes the public comments portion. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting? Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll give a second.
Mr. Shigosky, any objections? All right, so moved. It's 18:34 hours. We'll see everyone on January 29th. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you.